now, picture this.
You're out walking the dog. It's late afternoon and getting dark. In the sky, you see a bright light. Is it moving? You think so. You try and think what it might be, starting with the most likely. Aircraft landing light? Venus? Foil balloon reflecting the light? Iridium satellite flare? Could it simply be floaters in your eye? You're close to the nearby military base. Perhaps it's an exotic aircraft, or one of those drones we hear so much about these days. Suddenly, it dawns on you. Of course! It must be an alien scout craft from the Zeta Reticuli star system, piloted by three telepathic greys with the tacit approval of a clandestine Majestic 12 US government group. It can only be a matter of moments before you're abducted, after which you'll experience a feeling of paralysis, suffocation, missing time, and pain around the genitals. You will retain no memory of the event, except during regression hypnosis, after which you'll discover a small metal implant on the nape of your neck. It's bound to be one of them. Your dog barks excitedly at you in agreement.
Dallas Campbell.
Science broadcaster, television presenter, reluctant writer.
Perhaps not so much of a reluctant writer when it comes to conspiracy theories, though. The segment Dallas read is from a chapter in a new book called Aliens, in which he charters where all these conspiracy theories began.
As long as human beings have been roaming the Earth, there's been conspiracy theories. Point is, I think we all are conspiracy theorists, just to various different degrees. We all have probably irrational beliefs that we justify in the secret ways that we justify beliefs. But the modern story of flying saucers began in the 1940s.
What happened in the 40s? What was this initial sort of spike in interest?
So Kenneth Arnold was a civilian pilot who was out flying above the mountains in the northwest America. Thought he saw something, reported seeing some bright flashing light, which he described as being like a saucer if you skipped it across the water. And the press picked up on this. And of course, this is during the Cold War, general paranoia about the Soviets. And suddenly this term flying saucer was cottoned onto.
What was it? Well, nobody quite knows. It was investigated by the Air Force at the time, and their report was a bit of an oxymoron. They concluded that Kenneth Arnold was both a credible witness, but what he saw was a mirage. The pandemonium wasn't limited to the States, though. 3 years later, the UK's Ministry of Defence set up one of the best-named scientific studies I've ever come across. The Flying Saucer Working Party. The MOD's chief scientific advisor, Sir Henry Tizard, insisted that UFO sightings should not be dismissed without any scientific study. Their report, published in 1951, argued that all such phenomena could be explained by balloons, birds and blimps, illusions, delusions and hoaxes. Oh, and weather. They concluded...
We accordingly recommend very strongly that no further investigation of reported mysterious aerial phenomena be undertaken, unless and until some material evidence becomes available.
From then on, it went crazy. People started seeing flying saucers everywhere. And of course, from 1947, of course, we have Roswell, which was the modern culture today, is still the poster child of flying saucer conspiracy theories. That and Area 51.
I know Independence Day, that film, was based at Area 51 or based around the area. And I remember seeing this aged, I think I was about 12 or 13 at a sleepover. And I was so frightened by the scene where I think an alien gets pressed up against the glass or they press up a dead person against
That's
the glass.
Right.
And I vomited straight into my lap and
no,
was sent
you didn't.
Home.
Yeah. Seriously? That's, wow. That's I remember I watched The Exorcist aged about 12 or 13, and I remember having a similar reaction at the moment where she vomited in The Exorcist, and I had a similar reaction, but not in Independence Day. It's quite tame Independence Day.
I think it's only
ludicrous.
A 12 as well.
I think so. Maybe you had a stomach bug as well. Maybe it was a combination of
blame
aliens.
On too many sweets, maybe, at the sleepover.
Or maybe you've been abducted and the memory has been repressed, and somehow that triggered a feeling.
Maybe.
Could it have been that?
I mean, possibly. Did you have this lump at the back of my neck, come to think of it? Could it be a metal chip?
It could be a metal implant.
It would explain my irrational fear of a film, which, even after 15 years, I still haven't watched. Returning to the mysterious place that's Area 51, though, What do we know about it? Wikipedia says it's a United States Air Force base in Nevada. But what goes on there? Nobody really knows. After a Freedom of Information request, documents revealed that in the 50s and 60s, surveillance aircrafts were developed there. But otherwise, we know very little, and it's this intense secrecy surrounding its purpose. I mean, the CIA only admitted the base even existed 3 years ago, that has made it absolutely legendary in the world of UFO sightings.
I've been to Area 51 a few times, and there's a wonderful sign as you approach, it's called Groom Lake Road. You go off the main 375 highway and you drive down about 13 miles, this dead straight dust track, and you get to a turn in the road and there's some hills, and beyond those hills is the actual base, and you can't actually see the base, but you come to a sign, and of course the exciting bit about the sign, it just says use of deadly force authorized. And if you go past that line on their own, they are quite within their rights to shoot you if they want to, and nobody will have to answer any questions or justify it. And then, of course, you want to go past the line. And the exciting thing is, just on the hills at that junction in the road, you can see these white Jeep Cherokees, and they're just sitting there watching you with binoculars, waiting for you to go past. The reality is, though, if you do go past, what tends to happen is they come out and stop you, and they give you a hefty fine and send you on your way. I don't think anyone has actually been shot, but it's all the technology that goes with it. It's the motion sensors, it's the drones, it's the Jeep Cherokees, it's the exotic signage. It all adds to this wonderful conspiracy theory story that behind that line lurks the aliens.
Did you dare cross the line?
Yeah,
when you went?
No. Well, I've always been really interested in UFOs, just from a sort of cultural point of view. I like the sort of UFO folklore and the subcultures that surround these stories. Of course, you know, people see things in the sky all the time. Are they aliens from outer space? No. I think with a high degree of certainty, we can say that they're not that.
Having said that, some do believe it's true. In fact, Hillary Clinton had pledged to open up government UFO files. What does Dallas think we would have seen, though, had she won?
I think that the reality, we like to think, because we have, well, there's a lot of files that have been released. There's all kinds of big chunks of files that have been released. And of course, there's nothing in them. There's nothing of any interest in them. The exciting thing about unopened files is the fact that they're unopened. As soon as you open the box and realize that they're actually really, really boring, and there's actually no evidence of aliens whatsoever, and the fact that Area 51 is just a secret military base where they test exotic aircrafts, everyone will be very, very disappointed. That's the reality.
Would you want to know, that being said? I mean, kind of, it's the mystery that we enjoy in itself and all the stories that go around it. I'm thinking the knock-on effects and culture. There's all that enjoyment that surrounds it.
You're absolutely right. It's the not knowing. It's the fact that you will never know, because it's untestable, it's unprovable, it's unfalsifiable. You can never prove the ET hypothesis. And that's exactly right. It's exactly what makes it so tantalising. The fact that you can never disprove that aliens landed at Rendlesham Forest or Roswell or Area 51. It's untestable. And of course, that's what people like. They love that sense of mystery, that excitement, that there is agency beyond what we know. It's that sense that we have of something else being out there is all wrapped up in those stories. And it's great for popular culture.